Tonight's guest, Father Daniel Berrigan, Catholic chaplain at Cornell University. Night Call is your program. Share your opinions and ideas with the rest of the country. Speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call in New York City from anywhere in the country. Here are Night Call's special phone numbers. From the East and Midwest, call collect at area code 212-749-3311. From the West at 212-749-3357. And from the New York area at 866-5010. And now from New York City, Night Call's host, Del Shields.
Good evening. Our Night Call topic for tonight is one of heartbreak, agonizing decisions, and even controversy. We're talking about the draft. Never before in our nation's history have so many young people said, "No, I won't go." And never before have so many non-young, the adults, worked against the draft. Our guest tonight is one who won't be going to war, but may well be going to jail. He is Father Daniel Berrigan, soon to go on trial for burning draft board records with homemade napalm in Baltimore. His brother, Father Philip Berrigan, is already serving 6 years for pouring blood over draft records. Both men are Catholic priests. Why does Father Daniel Berrigan fight the draft the way he does? In his words, and we quote, "Killing is disorder. Life and gentleness and community and unselfishness is the only order we recognize. For the sake of that order, we risk our liberty, our good name. The time is past when good men can remain silent." End of his quote. In fighting for order through gentleness, Father Daniel Berrigan finds himself at odds with that order we call the law. Tonight, Father Daniel Berrigan will be calling in from Cornell University, and there will be many questions that we will be posing to Father Berrigan. Among them, why did he set out deliberately to fight the draft in a way that is against the law? What does the Catholic Church have to say about his particular stand? What about his brother, who has already, or is ready, or is presently, rather, serving 6 years in jail for pouring blood over draft records? In the National Catholic Reporter, a statement was printed in reference to this particular case, and we're going to quote just a few paragraphs from it. "To all those whose spirits are troubled by the violence of the times, we send out a call for action, or at least for compassion. The war in Vietnam continues steadily along its bloody path at the increasing price of American and Vietnamese lives. In spite of the so-called Paris peace talks, the long denial of justice to our poor fellow Americans, especially to those who are black, brings closer the terrible fruits of human hope so long frustrated: violence and destruction in our cities. Our selfish and exploitive foreign policy in the Third World continues in order to protect the American way of life. Those who had placed their hopes in a McCarthy victory or in a truly representative convention were rudely awakened by the clubs of the Chicago police, or perhaps more so by the political cynicism of those within the convention hall. The cry for law and order is abroad in a nation apparently willing to overlook the fundamental human law of love in an atmosphere of suspicion or the cause of peace, the most authentic fruit of order." This, a call to men of conscience. We're waiting now to bring in Father Berrigan, who will be calling in from Cornell University. We have a problem on our line at the present time. And as soon as Father Berrigan comes in, we will be happy to allow our listeners to participate in our conversation tonight with him. In the meantime, once again, our calls or our telephone numbers for you to call in tonight, area code 212-749-3311 if you're calling from the East and the Midwest. And that's area code 212-749-3311. From the West, you may call us collect at area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area, we welcome your calls at 866-5010. While we're waiting for Father Berrigan to call, we do have a call coming in from New Concord, Ohio. Mr. Jim Hall is hearing Night Call over WMCO-FM, and we'll take comments from Mr. Horn. Mr. Horn, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
We are waiting for Father Berrigan to come through. We had a technical problem just prior to going there. We're trying to clear it up, and we'll have him on shortly. But in the meantime, we'd like to have your question or your comments.
I was wondering, where does nonviolent protest end and violent protest begin?
Where does nonviolent protest end and where does it begin?
Right.
All right, we'll take that and we'll pass it on to Father Bergen as soon as he calls in. All right? Thank you very much for calling, sir. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3357 is the number for the West Coast calls, and from the East and Midwest, you may call us at area code 212-749-3311, and of course, in New York, 866-5010. Among some of the questions tonight that perhaps we will be posing to Father Berrigan will be, as we said earlier, where does the church stand in the area of conscience? And of course, as the young man just called in a few moments ago, where does nonviolence end and begin? What about this question of conscience? Many of us are affected by it. Many of us who are involved in the church are affected by it. And what about the stands that are being taken not only by the Catholic priests, but also by Protestant ministers, as well as rabbis? What is the extent of their particular responsibility? Where does the conscience begin? Where does it leave off? What about the obligations and responsibilities to the church? These are among some of the questions that we will be posing to Father Berrigan. The incident that took place where Father Philip Berrigan, who was jailed for 6 years for pouring blood over draft records in Maryland, or I should say in Baltimore, there was a second incident that took place with 9 persons, including Father Daniel Berrigan, whom we are waiting for now on our night call line. So there were 2 incidents involved, and Father Berrigan will be telling us about his impending trial, which I think will be held sometime next week. This is Night Call in New York. Tonight we will be discussing with Father Daniel Berrigan as soon as our night call lines are cleared up technically at area code 212-749-3311. If you have a question or comment that you'd like for us to pass on to Father Berrigan, we'll be more than happy to take it. And if you're calling in from the West Coast, area code 212-749-3357. And of course, from New York, 866-5010. As we often say, Night Call is your program. It is the listeners who help us to effect a dialogue between our guest and ourselves here in New York. And, of course, if you desire to call, we always welcome your comments. Going back to the incident that took place, some of the comments that came in or that were reported at the time of the burning of the 600 draft records, Father Thomas Merton made this comment. He said, "To many, the act of the Catonsville Nine has seemed incomprehensible, wild, and extreme. Well, I think they were intentionally extreme, though they remained in essence nonviolent. They were intentionally provocative. The protesters believe that as Christians they must protest against a futile and immoral war to the point where they are jailed for protest, or else stop the war. This goes pretty far, I admit. It shocks, and it is intended to shock. Perhaps the point will never get across to some people. It may be too shocking. All I'd like to say is this. I noticed very little, if any, shock at all when a Catholic bishop had the droll effrontery to speak of the Vietnam War as an act of Christian love." On that same incident, John Deedy, the managing editor of the Commonweal, reported, "It is very easy to write off Catonsville and similar incidents as serving little beyond the satisfaction of the religious and psychological impulses of those protesting. This is unfair. Such actions may have high purpose and call attention to a bevy of injustices, economic and racial, as well as military. The world would be better off with more rather than fewer Berrigans, and it will profit from their witness, impractical though this may occasionally appear to be." And finally, to the from the nine who were involved in this action in Baltimore, their statement, including the one from Father Berrigan, is as follows. "Finally, to those unable to accept the Catonsville action, we repeat Daniel Berrigan's request for pardon. Our apologies, good friends, for the fracture of good order, the burning of paper instead of children, the angering of the orderlies in the front part of the charnel house. We could not, so help us God, do otherwise, for we are sick at heart. Our hearts give us no rest for thinking of the land of burning children and for thinking of that other child of whom the poet Luke speaks." Mr. Fox is calling in from New Orleans. He's hearing Night Call over WDSU. We'll take his comments while we're still awaiting the connection between New York and Father Berrigan, who will be calling in from Cornell University. Mr. Fox, good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Fine, thank you.
I'd like to ask the Father a question. Father, do you advocate the actions that were taken by Students for a Democratic Society recently at Columbia University in open opposition to the draft?
Well, first, Mr. Fox, we have not made connection yet with Father Berrigan. We're trying to clear up the line, but we'll take your question and we'll pass it on to the Father as soon as he comes in. All right, would you repeat the question again, sir?
Yes, sir. I would appreciate it if you would ask the Father if he advocates the actions that were taken by the Students for a Democratic Society organization at Columbia University in relation to open opposition of the draft.
If he advocates the action or approves the action that was taken by the students by the SDS on Columbia.
That's correct, sir.
Right, sir. Thank you very much for calling. I'll pass this on to him. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. We will accept your comments as well as your questions that we will pass on to Father Berrigan as soon as we can make connections with him. He's calling in from Cornell University. We had him just prior to going into the air, and we've lost him, and we're trying to get him back. In the meantime, if you care to call us, area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. If you're calling us from the West Coast, it's area code 212-749-3357. And, of course, in New York, 866-5010. This time, we'll go out to Wilberforce, Ohio. Mr. Smith is hearing Night Call over WCSU-FM. Mr. Smith, good evening, sir.
Hello, Mr. Shields.
How are you?
I was in New York this summer, and I listened to your show, frankly, all every evening.
Thank you very much.
I'm back at school now, and this is the first time I've caught it here in the Midwest. I'd like to ask the priest, would he do the same thing if the U.S. was attacked by an enemy force? And if not, would he encourage the men to fight?
Would he do the same thing if the United States was attacked
by... Would he burn draft cards?
Right. Or do you have a feeling about it?
Well, I don't think... the way he did it was right. I think he should have gone the group that he was in should have gone in about a different way instead of breaking into the Selective Service Office and burning the draft cards like they did.
All right, you stand by because Father Berrigan is now on the line and we'll talk to him. Thank you so much for calling, sir. Right. Father Berrigan?
Yes.
Sorry we had trouble.
So am I.
We had a number of our listeners who did call in, and first we want to thank you for being with us, and again, we apologize for the technical problem.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you. Now, Father, we would like to begin our conversation tonight with asking you why you deliberately decided to fight the draft in a way that is against the law. Why did you decide to use this particular method to fight the law?
Right. I think that's the question that is occurring to all of our friends, and I'm very happy to just say a few words about it. I think after 4 years of dissent within the law, we have realized that it's the particular genius of the American military and political system to be able to co-opt almost any good movement and to adjust to it and to continue escalating a war of the horror and range of the Vietnamese War. So we had come to the end of our rope and decided that we better try something outside the law to say something real.
One of our listeners called in a few moments ago and asked whether or not you would do the same thing if the United States had been attacked by an enemy force.
If we would have done the same thing, well, I think that's getting unreal. You know, we were trying to deal with the war that we're in. And we can dream up a thousand other things that I would have to work through if we were in them. The fact is that we're in this one. There's a daily dose of death on both sides, and we're trying to be realistic about this one.
Now, the method that was used was intended to be one that would be provocative. Now, were you aware of the what the outcome would be or the penalty that possibly you would have to pay?
Well, I think we would have been fooled if we had entered upon this thing from the idea that we would have gotten out easily. The system of the courts now is so geared, especially since, let's say, a year or two ago, and that system is bound to get worse, whereby anybody who really touches the exposed nerve of the military system is going to pay for it. We're being classed, according to any civilized legal system, with psychopathic murderers. And this is for burning a few useless slips of paper that legitimate murder. And I think that we had to face very squarely the consequences of this, and we tried to do so.
Why did you decide to refer to the Special Forces Handbook, which is a book that is a part of the Army's instruction? Why did you select that particular book, and then why did you select the napalm instruction or the constructions rather to make a napalm bomb? Why did you do it that way?
Well, we wanted to underscore the fact, first of all, that napalm is a very cheap weapon, and it's a weapon which can be put together very easily by these special forces, even when they're deprived of any more sophisticated equipment. We also want to underscore the fact that this handbook of the special forces makes it legitimate for them, for whatever reason, the reasons are never made clear and the conditions are never made clear, to toss napalm at practically anybody that they would conceive to be an enemy. We want to underscore the fact that napalm has already been used in several Latin American countries, that our special forces are training anti-revolutionary forces in Guatemala, Colombia, Bolivia, Peru, and elsewhere, and that, as even Dean Rusk has reminded us, we are perhaps faced with 50 years of Vietnam-type wars. We want to make a lot of things clear.
Father Berrigan, we're going to ask you to stand by. We'll be coming right back to you following station identification.
Right.
Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Father Daniel Berrigan after station identification.
The year 2000 is a little more than a generation away. For our cities, the question is precisely this. Will the new millennium mark a celebration or a wake? If you think you can sit snug in a suburban split level while the cities slide downhill, you're only kidding yourself. Slums won't stop at the city line any more than commuters do. What happens to our cities happens to our suburbs. Together we can remake our cities. We will. We must. If you think there's nothing you can do to help, think harder.
Send for the free booklet, The Turning Point. Write Night Call, Pomona, New York. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York. Ask your own question direct. Speak for yourself, collect from anywhere in the country to Father Daniel Berrigan about the draft and Vietnam. Call Night Call Collect from the East and the Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to New York. We're having difficulty with our guest line. And are we clear now? All right. Father Berrigan?
Yeah.
Thank you. We were trying to clear up your line. I don't know what Cornell Universe is doing to us tonight. Father, would you be kind enough, just before we open our lines again to our Night Call listeners, to kind of reconstruct the incident and also relate to us, since your brother, Father Berrigan, is now serving a six-year term, would you first relate to us the incident involving Father Philip Berrigan, your brother, and then reconstruct for us the incident involving you and the nine?
All right. I'll be glad to.
Thank you.
Well, my brother and three others, about a year ago, conceived the idea that they had also to go beyond the law in their protest and move into something a little bit more dramatic and a little bit more risky, into resistance. And they got the idea of pouring human blood on draft files in Baltimore, where my brother was working in the inner city. And they pulled off this caper. They had great difficulty in drawing blood from themselves, and so they were forced finally to mix it with animal blood, but they went ahead with this. Then their trial occurred, and practically excited no attention. I think Americans were unable to read the profound symbolism they were aiming at. And they were tried and convicted. And in the period between their conviction and their sentencing, my brother said, well, we really haven't made it yet, and the public hasn't caught on, and the war is worse.
Father, would you try to speak up a bit for us, please?
A lot louder, you say.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. And as I say, between the time of their conviction and sentencing, a group of eight others of us, including myself now, agreed that we were going to try another symbol and a larger action. And we concocted and poured homemade napalm on 600 A1 draft files in Catonsville, Maryland, on May 17th of this last year. And for that, we will be tried in the Baltimore Federal Courts beginning next Monday.
Did you force entry into the draft board?
Well, we first went in under the pretext of examining some draft records. And when the women awakened to the fact that we were there to do something else, they resisted to a point. Luckily, we had two women in our group who restrained them with minimal force and trouble. And the rest of us went about the work of emptying these files.
And what happened following that?
Well, we burned them with this homemade napalm in a parking lot next door and just stood around the fire and reflected with one another on what we had done, read some scriptures, said a prayer or two, and waited for the cops.
You were then arrested?
Yes, we were arrested and charged. And we spent a week in jail fasting.
Now, what were you charged with?
We were charged, I think it's four counts. I'm not too good at his legal business. The principal, more serious count is one of conspiracy to obstruct the workings of the Selective Service Act. Then we're charged with counts of entering federal property and destroying federal property. The state of Maryland has also charged us with arson and robbery. And our total possible conviction is about 52 years.
And you are willing to accept whatever the sentence is going to be?
Well, I'm certainly, all nine of us are going through this trial. And we're paying tribute to our rapidly vanishing hope that sanity and political sense will reassert themselves. We'll see what comes. We'll take it.
Well, are you the only priest involved in the nine?
No, we had a very old missionary, Father Melville, who had since married an ex-nun. And they had been expelled from Guatemala for their activities on behalf of revolutionary students there. And they joined us shortly after their return in the same action. There was also a brother, a Christian brother from St. Louis, Brother David Doris, who joined us.
Father Berrigan, we have Reverend Barfield, who's calling in from Detroit, Michigan. He's hearing Night Call over WJLB, and we'll accept his call. Reverend Barfield, good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Your question, sir.
Yes, I would like to have your opinion on what do you think the Wallace, what effect do you think the Wallace campaign have upon the draft card situation that students are currently involved in protest to the Vietnamese War?
Well, I think that Mr. Wallace represents something very purely American at the present time. Well, not to get excited because he's unique. He's speaking for hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of Americans for various reasons. And he represents a mood of profound depression, despair with political sanity. And he's bound further to complicate the issue for anyone who wants to resist. I was reading today in the paper that he shook his finger at some young hecklers a day or two ago and said something like, you better have your say now because you're going to be finished when I'm elected. And I take it that's both ominous and accurate.
Does that answer your question, sir? Did you have another question?
I have another one.
Thank you.
I feel that in lieu of the situation that we're currently involved in here in America, that the mood of our times, which we're currently living in, the situation, and this war is going on, is not really a declared war by Congress, and it's a war that very few people understand.
Right.
And it's the type of war that wouldn't be too hard to protest.
Reverend Barfield, may I ask you a question, sir?
Yes, sir.
As a minister, do you approve of the actions of Father Berrigan and their method in fighting or in protesting the draft? Or in their method of protest?
Yes, I do.
I see.
And I would like to make one statement that Whitney Young said it yesterday here in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And it was in reference to Wallace's position on law and order. And Mr. Young said that Mr. Wallace's position, along with Nixon and others, was talking about this law and order issue, that was designed by their political experts for many brilliant whites who just merely squeaked into the middle income bracket and playing on the fears of people really no basic reason. And I feel that myself, in an age where everything is all messed up, there has to be some form of protest, whether it's legally allowed or illegally allowed, as long as it don't disrupt the country. But we got to have some methods of letting the country know that the right thing is not being carried out. And that's all.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Father Berrigan, what has been the stand of the church in your case?
Well, of course, the Catholic Church is a very complex animal, you know. You can't really judge it by looking at one of its moving parts. It's almost like trying to photograph a herd of elephants. Everything's happening at once.
Well, let's talk about your immediate superiors.
Yeah, right. Well, I think that there's fact that public opinion has also turned in our direction, and that there's a mounting wave of understanding among, let's say, young students, young priests, young nuns, and that my superiors are also quite sensitive to this. So now they're going to make a contribution to our court cause, and they've urged support of us.
Well, in taking this deliberate and provocative stand, and in conducting the kind of program as you and the other eight members of your group did, are you being successful in alerting the many people of the country as to what the problems are with the draft? Are you alerting them to the problems of Vietnam?
Well, you know, everybody makes an act of faith when he puts his life on the line. This thing often has to go beyond anything that you can engineer. If we were Cornell engineers, we might be able to predict the other end of our action, but because we are involved in social process and very volcanic change, we just don't know. I think that in the beginning we were a little discouraged because there seemed to be so much kind of frenzied opposition to what we conceived to be a classical nonviolent example of protest, resistance. Now it seems to be turning because a lot of people have been peeling away their illusions after Chicago, and there seems to be a great deal more thoughtfulness and more disposition to, you know, welcome us back into the company of the living. And I think also people, in spite of themselves, are moved by a group of people who come out of backgrounds that have never been violent, never been frenzied, never been against human decency and human order, and begin to say something and try to say it within that same lifetime. So it doesn't look that bad.
But
what's bad is, of course, but anybody who's a Negro or a poor person or a protester or a student with a conscience knows that the courts are lousy anyway, so we're getting to that too.
But you're willing to pay a very, very dear price when there are thousands or perhaps millions of people in the country who are somewhat apathetic about the Vietnam situation.
You're right. Well, I don't know what to say about that, except that a lot of people never really get born and never really die. At least you never know when they do. And we don't belong to them. We'd like to help them get born and get thinking and get dying, even if they want to do that. But that's up to them. You know, they're free. What we wanted to do was to be men. And that, given our white skin, and given our church, and given our flag, is a very difficult project right now. But we're trying.
Hey, listener called in early while we were attempting to make contact with you during the early part of the show, and one of the questions that he had was that he wanted to know your feelings about the Students for a Democratic Society on Columbia University campus in reference to the draft, whether or not you approved of their actions.
You're right. Of course, the protest down there, as I understand, has not been so much against the draft as against the university itself. And I really don't know how to proceed against the draft protest. I don't know anything about that aspect of it. I believe that the University of Columbia has been getting away with a hell of a lot of evil for a long time, and that the students, clumsy and extreme and inept as a lot of the rhetoric has been, have taken up a job that has been let go by a very bankrupt power elite, and for that I honor them, and I say long life to them.
Father Berrigan, we're going to break for station identification, then we'll be coming right back. We have some additional calls. This is Night Call in New York, and tonight our guest is Father Daniel Berrigan, and we are discussing the draft and Vietnam, and of course the draft is a bloody mess is also a part of our subject. We'll return to Father Berrigan right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Father Daniel Berrigan after station identification. Next week on Night Call, a black entrepreneur, a white consumer expert, a pro-Arab Jew, the Indian wife of a U.S. senator, and Godfrey Cambridge. Monday, Dr. Thomas Matthew of Negro, the National Economic Growth and Reconstruction Organization. Tuesday, presidential consumer advisor, Betty Furness. Wednesday, Middle East expert, Alfred Lilienthal. Thursday, Mrs. Fred Harris, a full-blooded Comanche Indian, wife of the Oklahoma senator. And Friday, comedian Godfrey Cambridge. All this next week on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect from anywhere in the country to Father Berrigan about the draft and Vietnam. Call Night Call Collect from the East and the Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And a welcome to the Night Call stations who join us nightly for the second half hour. Tonight, our guest, Father Daniel Berrigan, calling in from Cornell University. And tonight we are discussing and conversing with him on the draft in Vietnam, and the draft is a bloody mess. And we'll take our first call during this half hour from New Orleans. Mr. Lane is hearing Night Call over WDSU. Mr. Lane, good evening, sir. Mr. Lane?
Hello.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Shields.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. I wanted to compliment you on your program.
Thank you very
and
much,
also,
sir.
Our own local station, WDSU, is performing a very fine public service and having many of these programs throughout the entire day. I believe Father Berrigan was, or his brother, either was once assigned to the New Orleans Archdiocese. Am I correct in that?
It was my brother.
It was his brother.
It was his brother.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I must say that that gentleman proved himself to be a person of outstanding moral character and of a very spirit, good, public spirited outlook. I think his sister is also a nun, is that right?
No, we are only boys in our family, unfortunately.
I see. Well, as horrifying as your act is, I must say that for people who have studied history and studied the various protest movements in this country, we who are shocked at the indifference of politicians over these years are somewhat heartened by the fact that men are courageous enough to underline their protest by doing these things that do shock. And although your act appears to be illegal, I think that in the end you'll be vindicated, and I know that no president of these United States would refrain from pardoning you or your brother if either one of you would happen to be convicted, you know.
Thank you.
So our thoughts go out to you, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts about the fact that the political leaders have been unable to say to themselves and to the public, we have made an error in this thing. We've miscalculated this war in South Vietnam and in the rice paddies of a faraway country that has very little meaning to the American public. I think myself that it's a reflection upon the clergy and the political leadership that you, Catholic priests, and others in Vietnam, monks, religious people, who immolated themselves by pouring gasoline upon themselves and burning themselves in protest, should be the ones to whom it's ultimately to fall to make this point. How do you feel about that? Do you feel that you're in a special category and that you are doing something that the leaders have been unable to do because they've jeopardized their position?
Well, I've spent practically all of my adult life trying to deal with students and young people, and I think that part of the very difficult situation we're in is their almost despair, near despair of political structures. I don't have to point to Chicago for that. I think as regards the churches that this is a very natural thing for us, should be. I regret very much the fact that the churches haven't been more courageous in this matter. But I don't look upon ourselves as anything special. I think that we're people who are trying to live for the people who are voiceless and powerless, and I think that this view of our lives stems right from the gospel, and it's a very simple matter.
Well, Father Berrigan,
yes.
What would you like for the United States to do in Vietnam? Would you like to see them pull out? Would you like for them to do as Mr. Lane has said, to come out publicly and say that we have made an error, that we have miscalculated, and that we ask the world to pardon us?
Well, I think that would be a very beautiful thing. I don't really expect it. I think that the most concrete thing that we could expect would be that our people would simply stop killing and reverse this kind of horrible movie that we've been running, and just back our ships up to the shore again and bring our fellows home. I don't like to see our people dying any more than the peasants of Vietnam.
Well, have we thought in terms of the fact that America has prided itself that it has never lost a war?
Well, I think that's very much a part of the terrible bind that we find ourselves in. We've got a vision of ourselves as Superman, and we've reinforced this by all sorts of religious mythology that somehow we've got God on our side, and we're entitled to, as Vice President Humphrey said, export the Great Society to Asia, which I think is one of the most obscene things I've ever heard of.
Mr. Lane? Mr. Lane?
Yes,
Mr.
Steele.
Yes, thank you for calling, sir.
All right.
Thank
bye.
You. This is Night Call in New York, and tonight, the draft and Vietnam. Our guest is Father Berrigan, calling in from Cornell University. And this time, we'll go out to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Mr. Curran is hearing Night Call over KGGM. I'm sorry, KGGM in Albuquerque. Mr. Curran, good evening, sir.
Good evening. I'd like to ask Father Berrigan this question. His actions have made me realize that more should be done to protest the war in Vietnam than just to talk about it. Last night, Ms. Baez mentioned that for peace, she's been withholding part of her taxes. But what actions could Father Berrigan suggest that a person could do, let's say, who lives in a city where there isn't much resistance to the war vocalized?
Father Berrigan, could you speak up just a bit, sir?
Yeah, right. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I'm trying to suggest that I don't think that we believe that our action is an ideal action or the only action, or that people should agree with us, but only that people would become more thoughtful with their own lives where they're living them. And whether a person is young or old or white or black is indifferent in this case. I don't have enough contact with local situations elsewhere to know what other people should do. I do know in general that every person has the opportunity, if he's of draft age, to resist the draft, and if he's older, to re-examine his life and find out whether or not he's reaping the corrupt benefits of a society that is waging an immoral war. And, of course, I was exempt on two grounds. I was too old to carry a draft card, and I was a clergyman, and thereby exempt from the draft. So we had to find another way of risking equivalently what the young people were risking. If a young person has a draft card, he ought to hand it in. If he's threatened with jail for handing it in, he ought to find something else to do, I would say right now, than merely repeating the action of other resistors. But I can't enter into details because I don't live in Albuquerque. I just hope that Albuquerque gets as thoughtful and as courageous as Milwaukee, Wisconsin got this last 2 weeks.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. This time we'll go out to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mrs. Lowe is hearing Night Call over WTMJ. Mrs. Lowe, good evening.
Good evening. I wanted to ask Father Berrigan, what we in Milwaukee, who agree with the actions of Milwaukee 14, can do, because community reaction here has been really quite reactionist. And the men are unable to get out on bail. The bail was set at $30,000 apiece, seemingly as a punitive measure. I wonder if you had any comments on this.
Well, I think that the best comment on Milwaukee was made by General Hershey last week in a telephone interview with one of the papers there, when he declared that they've always thought Milwaukee was a well-behaved city. And of course, General Hershey is not too aware of what is really going on among the people these days. He isn't aware that Father Grappi and the black community and some whites have been marching for over a year to get a kind of basic, decent law for housing. He isn't aware that Milwaukee is at least as racist as any other town in the nation. I think that it would be very good if a few people in Milwaukee devised ways of sitting in and drawing attention and risking their own sweet skin and their own freedom as these 14-year-olds have. But again, I don't live in Milwaukee, and I think it's up to the people there to find out whether or not they can really live with the fact that 14 heroic people with deep religious convictions are being treated in a most criminal, illegal, and un-American way. Undoubtedly what I say is cold comfort, but I'm not here to offer a 14-point plan. I think there ought to be a barrage of marches, of protests, and and of exposures to jeopardy of the law in Milwaukee, so that at least some of the people might save the others.
Well, thank you, Father, and I will certainly try to do what I can.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Father Berrigan, some time ago you visited Hanoi. Would you tell us about the visit and why you were there?
Well, we went there on the invitation of the Hanoi government in order to perform an act of compassion. Professor Zinn of Boston University and myself went to receive the first group of released airmen in the history of the Vietnam War. And we went there, among other things, because we were trying to show that the American peace movement was also protesting the death and imprisonment and separation that were being forced upon Americans, and to show that we were not acting against this war as anti-Americans or as people who were insensitive to the suffering here. So we went there, and we were 8 days in Hanoi. We were under bombardment by the American Air Force. We brought the pilots back, and I hope we showed at least some Americans that the peace movement stands for something beyond the boundaries set by the war against compassion and concern.
Were you given official approval by the United States government to go to Hanoi?
Well, let's say that the government was seriously embarrassed by our trip. They realized that we were going to do something that the State Department, and indeed President Johnson himself, could not do. We were going to the heart of the enemy, and we were going to bring home captives of the enemy. And they did not interfere with us seriously. They broke promises afterward, but that's a very long story. I tell about it in a new book that I just published called Night Flight to Hanoi.
When you returned to the country, what kind of reception were you given by the government?
We were given a reception of total silence and implicit scorn. And this, in spite of the fact that we wired the White House on our journey back saying that we had spent an hour with the Chief of State, the Premier of North Vietnam, Mr. Pham Van Dong, and that we had the latest word that any American could expect on the thinking and the conditions for peace as these were being verbalized by the North Vietnamese. But we have never had access to any political power since.
Did you view this as embarrassment on the part of the government in as much as the exchange of the prisoners, or the given, the taking over rather, the prisoners did not go through official channels?
Well, it's impossible to conceive of how this could have gone through official channels. It's obvious that the North Vietnamese government was not going to perform an act of gratuitous mercy through the government, which was its sworn enemy and invader. I think our feeling was accurate that the government did not want peace and was not seriously interested in learning the conditions of peace, which, of course, it's been ignoring since then in the Paris talks.
Father Berrigan, we'll return to you in more discussion on the draft in Vietnam right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Father Daniel Berrigan after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, Sex and Society with Dr. Mary Calderon of the Sex Information and Education Council. She says sex education should begin in the kindergarten, and she'll tell you why. Other questions for Dr. Calderon. When sex was left up to parents, did they flunk out? When a child gets into his teens, will he want to go out and test the knowledge he's acquired from sex education courses? Will sex education conflict with what you believe in? What should be taught in sex education courses? And should you bring up sex or wait for your child to ask the first question? Dr. Mary Calderon, Sex and Society, tomorrow night on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect, from anywhere in the country to Father Berrigan about the draft in Vietnam. Call Night Call Collect from the East and the Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. from the West on area code 212-749-3357, and from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And this time we'll go out to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Mr. Kelly is hearing Night Call over WPBC. Mr. Kelly, good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Shields.
Your question, sir.
I would like to ask Father.
Yes.
First, do you believe in the Constitution of the United States?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, do you believe in the Declaration of Independence? Now, the Declaration of Independence does give us the right to change our Constitution, doesn't it?
Father Berrigan?
You're right.
Okay. Now, we are given, and I believe this to be true anyway, in the Declaration of Independence, there are three, quote, creator-given rights, or something like that, which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
Okay. I don't know, but I have a feeling that you and I differ on our meaning of the word liberty.
Uh-huh.
What would be your definition of this? The word liberty, I mean.
Did you hear the question, Father?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. His question, he wants, Mr. Kelly would like to know your definition of liberty. He stated that he felt that perhaps you and he may disagree on the definition, but he's asking you for your definition first.
All right, good. I believe very simply that liberty in the context, let's say, of human life today and being an American today, being a Christian today, has to do with the ability to be a human being and to resist all those forces that forbid one to be or to become a human being.
Yes, I thought we differed, because it seems to me that my definition is liberty is freedom, but only freedom to do as you wish, providing you do not hurt someone else or their belongings. Because as soon as you begin hurting them, you're beginning to take away some of their freedoms. Do you understand?
Well, I haven't heard anybody's belongings. I don't know the point of the question.
Well, I'm speaking specifically of these draft people, or shall I say, these people who destroyed this draft property in Milwaukee.
Right.
Now, they're hurting private property.
Well, Father Berrigan was not involved in the Milwaukee incident. Father Berrigan was involved in the incident that took place in Catonsville, Maryland.
Yes. But I'm speaking, if he's going to be a resistor in this form, he evidently must agree with the actions taken in Milwaukee.
Oh, I agree with him with all my heart.
Well, this is where I can't see how you can do this.
Well, I just happen to believe that certain properties have no right to exist at all. And no. I number among those properties licenses to kill other human beings, which is my definition of draft records.
Now, secondly, you said you believed in the Constitution.
Yes.
And we are, in the Constitution, given our three branches of government.
Right.
The third of which, if you want to put them in that order, is a judicial branch, which
right.
makes decisions on laws passed by the Congress and accepted by the President.
Yeah, right.
And this draft law is one law that has gone through all three branches,
uh-huh.
accepted and agreed to. Therefore, how can someone such as, well, yourself, or anyone like you, pretend to believe in the Constitution?
Well, could I put it this way? I think our Constitution has been modified by a lot of things that have happened since, let's say, the 18th century. One of the things that's happened has been the Golden Nuremberg trials and our agreement by prosecuting German war criminals that people are responsible for their actions, especially in times of war, that no one can excuse himself by saying he merely obeyed a law or obeyed a superior officer or obeyed a public official, but he has to stand trial and if necessarily be executed or imprisoned because he violated human rights when he should have made a decision to resist the law.
Mr. Shields, could you sum up what he said? I could just barely hear it.
Father was referring to the Nuremberg trials, the fact that we called certain people before the bar of justice and we stated to these people that they were wrong when they had an opportunity to resist the law of that particular land. Did you hear?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right.
Well, true, there have been bad atrocities in the world of the past than there are today. I'll grant you that. And possibly, the war might not be right, it might be right today. But who are we to say? I mean, should we drop what government we worked almost 200 years to develop? Drop the ideas that this government has worked for just because of a few people who think that they should be able to destroy it?
No, I'm not out to destroy the government. I'm merely out to destroy the government's, let's say, assumed power to wage a war which the Congress of the United States has never ratified and never declared, and which the majority of world citizens have declared as well to be immoral.
But has the Congress ever been asked to ratify it?
Well, the Constitution declares that war is to be declared by the Congress of the United States, and this hasn't been declared by a Congress, so I'm within the law on that point.
If the Congress were to ratify it, would you agree?
No.
Well, what can I say then?
Well, I think you can only say, or you can only perhaps listen to me say, that Congress cannot act as my substitute for being a thoughtful adult human being. And if I see people being killed in a bad cause, I'm going to say no to it.
Father, if you're saying that you're a voting citizen and yet they don't act for you, then evidently you don't vote.
Well, may I just inject something in here? Mr. Kelly, I think we are assuming that every man or every woman who is elected to Congress is going to do his fullest to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And we know this.
And also to do his job for the people of his district.
And we know that this is not true. You know, you are dealing with human factors. You have a Constitution. I think very few of us disagree with the fact that anything is wrong with the Constitution. We think it's a pretty good Constitution, but the problem is that most of the people who are elected or given the responsibility to uphold it have not been doing it.
Well, then evidently they should be taken out of their job and non-corrupt people elected in.
Right. Excellent.
Fine. Now, what are you doing about it?
Oh, myself?
Right.
Well, I'm involved with my party, doing what I can do the best I know how.
Well, in Father Berrigan's case, the action that he has instituted in protesting the draft, he has been willing to accept whatever the penalty is that is involved.
Yes, but in the process, he is both destroying other people's belongings and possibly them. And this is already against the...
Well, you say other people's belongings. What was destroyed was 600 draft records, which belong to the Selective Service, which is an arm of the federal government.
They were private records, were they not?
Were they private records?
Yes.
Father Berrigan?
Well, these are government records. That's why we're under federal charges.
But they are private records. Could you go in and read someone else's draft records? No, you couldn't. They are private. They're personal.
Well, the thing is that once you get beyond this rhetoric about draft records, I regard these things as licenses commit murder that we would not allow in any other circumstances, and I protest the power of the government to, mobilize people for killing of this type.
Mr. Kelly, yes. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. One of the things about Night Call is the fact that nightly we talk to people we may not always agree, but we have a chance to disagree openly. We'll take our last call this evening from Columbus, Ohio. Mr. Shapiro is hearing Night Call over WOSU-FM. Mr. Shapiro, good evening, sir.
Hello, Dale.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I'd like to say I listen to your program every night, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
Thank you very much, sir.
Mr. Kelly asked most of the questions that I have intended asking the father. However, I would like to say one thing, make sort of a statement. It's quite obvious that Joan Baez and Father Corrigan and all of these people that are against this war in Vietnam...
Father Berrigan, sir.
Father Berrigan, right.
Thank you.
...are against this war in Vietnam, and also quite obvious to me that they have very, very high ideals. But my thought on this matter is that they're extremely ultra-pious people, and in their own way, I think they're as detrimental to the cause of liberty in this country as George Wallace. As bad as he is, as bad as men like Wallace are, I think that Father Berrigan and Joan Baez and people like that, at the complete other end of the totem pole, I think is just as dangerous and detrimental to the United States of America. That's all I have to say now.
Thank you, Mr. Shapiro. Thank you. Father Berrigan, we have just about 1 minute. Would you like to respond?
Well, I respect the gentleman's opinion. I wish that he would turn the spotlight of his indignation upon a nation that is experimenting with new weapons upon a poor and defenseless country and finds itself extremely embarrassed by the fact of world opinion, world horror before the war, and the danger, as far as I can conceive of it, as an American, is to be sought in another direction entirely than ours. We're quite powerless, and we're trying to say something very simple and immediate. And if the gentleman would like to look at the waste of the world's goods, the waste of our national economy, the neglect of our poor, and the fact that we are quite willing to wage Vietnam wars elsewhere, he might find another point of danger to worry him.
Father Berrigan, we want to thank you so much for being our guest tonight on Night Call. And our apologies to you for our kind of poor line tonight, but thank you for bearing up.
Right, thank you.
This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, Dr. Mary Calderon of the Sex Information and Education Council on Sex and Society. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.